Shalom, Pastor.
Shalom, sir.
Please, sir, I want you to consider these two scripture references. Acts chapter 20.
Can you talk so that they can hear you? Talk louder.
Acts chapter 20. From verse 33 to 34. And then 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. Let's begin with Acts chapter 20. Please, can you shoot it on the screen?
The scripture again. Can they hear you?
Acts chapter 20, verses 33 and 34.
Can we read it, please? I have converted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yeah, you yourself know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I should go on.
Okay. Please, quickly, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 and 3.
1 Peter chapter
5, verses 2 and 3.
Yes.
Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for feeding lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock.
Yes.
Thank you. Please, Acts chapter 20, Apostle Paul was speaking. He said, I used my hand to minister to my necessities. I was not a burden to any of the Christian communities.
No, let's finish the next verse. Let's go back there. Let's get the complete context. Okay. Acts chapter 20. Now listen, go to verse 34 and verse 35.
Yea. You yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me.
Now verse 35.
I have showed you all things. How that
so laboring,
ye ought to
support the weak.
And to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive.
Yes, that is the proper context of that statement.
Okay, the first verse talks about covetousness. The problem we have among
I have converted no man. That is.
Yes.
It didn't go
the problem we have in the contemporary church is covetousness among ministers.
Yeah.
They want to covet this. They want to covet this. They want to covet this. It's a very disturbing trend, and I want you to address that matter. Speak frankly to us. Tell us the truth, so we can repent and move forward. Praise the Lord. Then chapter 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. Please read that place again.
Feed the flock of God which
start
is
start from verse 1.
The elders which are among
you. Can you see who he's talking to?
I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed.
What did he say?
Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for feeding lucre, but of a ready mind.
Next verse.
Neither has been lots over God's heritage, but being examples.
Examples.
To
examples.
Yes.
Thank you.
I have said this several times, sir. I don't know how much more frankly I can do that. I think it's Romans chapter 16. I think it's Romans 16. Mark them that cause division. Start from that 18, verse.
Verse 17.
Listen very well.
Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them.
Now, my emphasis is the next verse.
But they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ.
But what?
But their own belly. And by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the sinner.
There are people that into the ministry to food to eat. How do you think they will run the ministry? That is the reason why they will not allow any other minister to come up. Because you'll be sharing things with him. That is it. The effect of it all is that the church will never grow. You won't get people that will stand with you and walk with you. You know, it's a principle. Every year, listen, every year in Bride Assembly Church, Thanksgiving, people bring food items, bring all manner of items. You can imagine thousands of people bringing at least one thing. The whole altar will be filled with items. Then the deacons will now look at the ordained ministers and certain workers. Sometimes for 3 days, they are still sharing. They are still sharing. I go to my house, the ministers will load their boots when they are going with yam, rice. Me, my own, I will enter, I will see one side of my house full with items that the deacon shared and sent my own. There are churches that all that Thanksgiving, the pastor will pack everything. And everybody is looking at you. That is the spirit of covetousness. But even in Bride Assembly Church, we have stopped it. A thought occurred to me. I said, we are doing Thanksgiving. Then we come, all of us. We now drop it unto the Lord. Then after serving, we share them again among ourselves. I said, are we not deceiving ourselves? Did we really bring an offering? So I said, no. All the items, not till we go to anybody. The ones that can be used in the church, fan, electrical things, yeah, but the rest, take them to orphanages. Take them out. That is our Thanksgiving. Give. Stop deceiving yourself. You put finish. No, you're the coin sharer. Who is the deceive? You brought one carton of pure water drop. Then you carry boot. The drive to go house. Who are you deceiving? How can you be blessed by that? So all our Thanksgiving, because we need the money, we always tell the people, please monetize. We have projects, but if you bring any item, don't say, you have orphanage. We never carry things called your orphanage before.
Steady.
Oh. Instead of what you share, we pack everything to orphanage. And we'll be blessed. It's a principle. You think I don't want the item? That means I don't have the spirit of covetousness. I don't. If I want food items, I just send for it. Osas, nobody they buy food for not for me. If I want chop, I just send money to you. Even as they come, so I send money for food item that will last me for long. How much I send for you, sir?
Over 700,000 this time around.
So that will last me for some months. So I'm not depending on what anybody will bring as offering. But if I see good, I they beg for them. That's the only thing I they beg for, nothing more. I know they chop cow, now goat at the chop. Please. Praise the Lord. That's on the lighter side, but that's how it should be. If you are selfish, no. Even when we travel, how many of you have traveled with me abroad? Yeah, we've traveled. And they give us offerings.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The last day, we will come to the room. Everybody bring you.
Yes,
I'll bring my own. We'll search you. You must bring
yes,
everything.
Yes, sir.
See my own. Everybody declare.
Yes,
then we share it equally. Equal.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Is that what we do?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We share it equal, equal.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Because the one they gave you privately, the one they gave me privately, okay. Everybody will declare it.
Yes, sir.
Then when
yes,
we reach sir. The airport, we change it to dollar.
Dollars, yes, sir. Correct, sir.
And as they change, we count them in case you hide anyone like Ananias and Sapphira.
Thank you, sir.
But even some people now, sometimes people get more than me.
Yes, at times, sir. At times.
Using prophetic action.
Yes, sir.
To collect my own. And they are happy.
Yes, sir.
So they won't say I cheated them in any way.
Yes, sir.
In any way. You traveled to Germany.
Yes, sir. Yes,
they
sir.
Gave you a gift. They yes, all sir. Came to my office and see what they gave us.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And they gave me my own.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And I bless the good. When are you people going again?
Yes, sir.
That's how we operate. And I think that's how it should be. God bless you.
So one more thing, sir.
Yes.
Please, before now, I came from a background where pastors are local lords in the community of believers. A pastor of a church would tell the members, you provide for pastor's welfare. Men, 5,000 monthly. Women, 3,000. Youth, 2,000.
That is what Apostle Paul says, don't be lords over God's heritage.
It's wrong.
It's wrong. Very wrong.
Speak to a pastor of the word, please.
I should speak.
Tell us.
No, you two talk now.
Speak to the word. Now, so that all of us will hear and take corrections. Very, very important.
Listen. The position of a pastor overship is a position where if you don't have a converted pastor, they will finish the flock.
Wolves.
Because anytime the pastor talk, they will think it is God talking. And they know how to say it. That you do it. Every year, they will celebrate my birthday in Brother Assembly. Okay. Do you know that there are pastors that will announce, my birthday is also, you people must celebrate me. Shameless people. Commanding the people, you must. This is the time to show me love. On some occasions, you know, they were planning with my wife. I didn't know. And then suddenly they put me one side. Don't say them. Don't say you were among them. And who again? Those who are here, they organize the car I'm using today. Some members task themselves. One of those cars, the Lexus, and bought it 20 something million years, 3 or 4 years ago. And they surprised me with it. I appreciated them. 2 years ago or so, then I got to know that they were tasking members to collect that money. Go here, then task. And I found out, I said, this is what they are doing. Well, our members, you are here. I came to the altar, I spoke against it. And I told them, okay, from now on, I don't want any birthday celebration. If you think you want to wish me and give any gift to me, come personally to me. Don't let anybody come and say, we are gathering money to do this for the pastor. You are hearing me now. If you organize anything and invite me to come, I will not come. Don't celebrate me. The idea is to stop people from taxing people and say they want to celebrate me. Why do you do that? If you are rich enough, and then, even when they do it, they exclude some others. It's certain people only they invite. So you say you want to celebrate your papa, then the other children of the papa, they will not come. Then they give you access card. If you don't have that card, you cannot enter. What are you doing? It's all denominational hangover. Let's stop that. If you have the money, then do it for the whole church to attend. Sponsor everybody. Sponsor. Use your money and tell everybody to come and join you and celebrate pastor. Not to say you, if you don't contribute, you not give you, you won't come in. And all that. I'll stop it. It's nothing like that. So, 2 years now. Happy birthday. Happy. Thank you very much. All of you who sent me happy birthday. God bless you. Finish. Pray for me if you love me. Any other question, please?
Praise the Lord. Amen.
And do you know something? This is on a lighter mood, man. Do you know something? That it became more advantageous to me. All that money they used to gather among themselves, they will gather and buy food, buy chicken, buy this, you know, very expensive, lavish thing they used to do, light, and then celebration. She know they call my hand. But when I say, if you have any gift for me, come personally. Do you know that the first year they implemented it, that when I counted the cash, it was over 5 million naira cash. Now I say, yeah, now what are they missing with this? Yay! No more party for me. No more party for me. No more party for me. Cash. I mean cash. I just decided one day to open all the envelopes. Open all the envelopes. And when I brought together, plus foreign exchange, plus this one, the naira on only was over 5 million naira cash. All the one that they celebrate for me before, nothing, nothing. Kai. The only thing is the cloth where I go wear that day, they go bring one suit. Some of them, the suit say oversize. That's why I go wear on the hand, don't cover my hand at all. I go. It's good to be humble. See what I got in my humility. I got 5 million cash. Carry and go give my, when I see the alert from my account, I say, yeah. When is my next birthday? Okay. God bless you. Next person, please.
Shalom. Mine is not a question, but it's an observation. And I want to add my humble suggestion to that observation. It's about taking or eating communion. During some communion service, I was part of at least two of such occasions in Brother Assembly. What I've realized is that we started in the evening, and we know communion is tap last supper, it's supper, and we need to take it in the evening. And we started in the evening, but the way the activities are lined up before the time of eating the communion had made it difficult for us to take the communion at a time where it should be called supper. It means that Before the taking of the communion, some activity like prophetic ministrations precede, and it took a lot of time. By the time we came to take the communion, it was the following day. It has got into the morning side. And a meal is given a name by the time it is taken. If it is taken in the morning, it's breakfast. Afternoon is a lunch. The evening is supper. So I've observed that at least two times. So I would like to suggest that to make the communion be called supper should be taken at the appropriate time. So activities before the communion should actually be either shortened or the communion be taken at appropriate time before other activities so that it will be supper. Thank you.
God bless you. Let's share this understanding. Let's share this understanding. My understanding. First and foremost, everything about the communion should speak something about Christ, the blood and the body. The blood must contain some alcohol because of the preservation, and the body must be the bread must be unleavened. Now, let me ask you, sir. Let me ask you. When do you think is the appropriate time to call it supper?
Before midnight.
Before
midnight.
Why before midnight? Okay, to you.
To me.
Where do you get that definition from?
What I know is the division, I mean the time that every meal is taken, the name is given to it according to the time. So if it is morning, they call it breakfast. In the afternoon, they call it lunch. So evening meal, before midnight.
Now, see, the Jewish calendar.
Okay.
Let's see the Jewish calendar. The day begins from 6 a.m.
It's true.
Till 6 p.m. From 6 p.m. till 6 a.m. is evening.
Okay.
Now, Apostle Paul it was a communion they were taking in Acts chapter 20. Read it from verse 7.
Acts 20 from verse 7. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech
until
midnight.
Read on.
And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus.
Those who sleep during service.
Being fallen into a deep sleep.
Eutychus.
And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft.
Listen very well.
And was taken up dead.
Uh-huh.
And Paul went down and fell on him and embracing him said, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. And when he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed.
So it is clear that they took the bread after 12 midnight.
Okay, thank you.
So all that timing is now. Now that we are united together, the only instruction we have from the Lord and from Apostle Paul is as often as you take it. As often as you take it. We are, during live service, the whole world is connected. And we have various time zones in the world. And they are joining in the communion. While it is night here, it is already morning in Japan, for instance, in China. America, we are 6-7 hours ahead of them. So, and yet, we are supposed to be united together to take the communion. So how do you do it? You tell them they should not join, they should wait for their own 6 o'clock. So I think it's just unnecessary legalism. The meaning of it, the body and the blood of Jesus, is the emphasis. God bless you. Next person, please.
Shalom, church. God bless you, man of God. Say, I want to ask this question concerning pastors' wives. I have realized that some end time message pastors, some of their wives don't really exhibit what their husbands preach on the pulpit. For example, the way they dress. Some of them, their wives put on wig, which we call a mesh, makeup, especially when they're going out, not in the church premises, but when they're going out. I want to ask, a thing like this, what would a man of God do, and what is he supposed to do? Two, concerning what the man of God's asked about the communion, I want to know, and you stated that we have to, when eating communion, the communion should, there should be alcohol in it. Because most, where I am coming from, we don't drink alcohol with, the one with the alcohol. I want to know, which quotation can you back up with what you say? God bless you.
God bless you. The first one, your wife. This is very interesting. This is where man's wisdom had to come in, where you see the denominations. And we here, we only copy what the West does, or you both do. This idea of ordaining women ministry, people didn't know that it was part of their attempt to solve problems. You know, in the Western world, the law of marriage favors the women more than the men. You know, if you divorce, 70% of what you have goes to the woman. It goes to the woman. And so that they will not spoil the show, you bring them to be part of what you are doing. So to be part of making sure the business goes on uninterrupted. That's how they brought them into it. But we Africans, the law favored the men more than the women. In that, you should just go and divorce. Finish. The only thing is you pay alimony if you have children. Nothing more than that. To take care of the children. Even if the woman is not capable of taking care of the children, they'll collect the children and give the man. If the man is capable of taking care of the children. So, if a woman knows that you have a ministry and she decides to spoil your testimony by the way she behaves, she knows that you can put her in her position if you are a man indeed. Every woman knows what the husband can do and cannot do. Secondly, the first person that testifies whether you're a Christian or not is your wife. If your wife knows you're a hypocrite, he will say, ah, Joe. Such a priest, go to the son of my angel, they talk today. You know you be a devil. They know. But if that woman knows you have a call of God, you are sincere, you are serving God, she's careful with you. She will obey you. And you must also give the woman her due respect. You don't come to the public and be rubbishing her and expect her to respect you. Respect begets respect. So, that is another thing to manage your wife. Do everything to let your wife be part of your vision, to support you through the way she behaves. Let her not bring shame on you. And it goes with compromise. There are some things too you have to tolerate for peace to reign. It's give and take. May God give you wisdom to tame your wife in Jesus' name. The second one is communion, wine. Yeah, I said the blood of Jesus has a life in it. That life is a preservative. That life is the Holy Spirit. Grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are preserved, sealed until the day of redemption in Ephesians 4:30. Now, if that wine that you have, what preserves that wine is the alcohol that is in it. And as long as that alcohol is in that wine, it can stay a million years. The longer it stays, the even better it becomes. That is what the Holy Ghost does in the life of the believer. And it flows from the blood of Jesus Christ. There is a life there. So the alcohol must have some little percentage of, the wine must have a little percentage of alcohol for it to be a type of the blood of Jesus. Just as his body was sinless, that's why the bread must be unleavened, no yeast. It will only dry up, but it will never rot when a bread does not have yeast. So is the body of Jesus Christ. That's why we use unleavened bread. God bless you. Next person.
Good afternoon, sir. So my name is Simpani Suchen Napolinus. I love...
One microphone here.
Please. I love your wisdom, sir. The Bible says, Proverbs 13, verse 20, he that walk the wise man shall be wise, a corrupt fool shall destroy. Sir, because of the wiseness, the way you explain things, I want to ask a question. My question goes with 2 Corinthians 11, 13, 14. And 3 John chapter 4, verse 1.
Let's finish one now.
2 Corinthians 11, 13, 14.
For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light.
And what other scripture?
1 John chapter 4, verse 1.
Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world.
Lastly, Matthew 24, verse 24. Matthew 24, verse 24.
For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, in so much that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect.
Praise the Lord. So I want to know, how do you know a real prophet now that you're in the end time?
A true prophet, Deuteronomy 18, verse 20.
But the prophets, we shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak,
or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die.
Go on.
And if thou say in thy heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken?
Uh-huh.
When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. But the prophet has spoken it presumptuously. Thou shalt not be afraid of him.
The Bible has answered you.
Yes, sir. Second question goes to Galatians 5:22. And the 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8 to 10.
But the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith.
Second one, 1 Corinthians.
1 Corinthians what?
Praise the Lord. The first one is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 26.
Chapter 1, verse 26. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called.
Praise the Lord. There's a mistake. I now remember what's the second one. Praise the Lord. The first one I wanted to mention is the first one, Galatians 5, 16. And the last one is 1 Corinthians.
Let's read this one first.
This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Uh-huh.
My question, there are so many things that happen in the body of Christ today. So I want to know, how do we walk in the Spirit?
How can you walk in the Spirit?
Yes, sir.
This is how to walk in the Spirit. Romans chapter 8. Verse. Read it from verse 14, 15, or 16.
For as many as are led by the Spirit.
This is the
God.
Verse I'm looking for. See. You want to walk at the Spirit, first and foremost, receive the Holy Ghost. After you have received the Holy Ghost, allow Him to lead you. And in Proverbs chapter 3, and verse 5.
Trust in the Lord with all thy heart.
Uh-huh.
And lean not unto thy own understanding.
Uh-huh.
In all thy ways acknowledge Him. And He shall direct thy paths.
This is how to walk in the Spirit. Allow Him to lead you, to guide you. God bless you. Listen to a message I also preached that I titled Walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. Yes.
Thank you so much for the answers to all these questions. Each time I listen to you answering questions, I so much admire it. The wisdom and the grace.
Mona, clap for me small now. What's your apple?
Thank you. Sir.
A person would beg for a clap. Everything. Now, don't turn person to beggar. Every time I go to beg.
Sir, I have a question and a request. I don't know whether to start from the request. Okay, let me start with the question. The question is, if you have a gifted sister in your church and she kept coming to you, telling you that she's having an urge to go and start a ministry, and she doesn't want
to. Can you talk to the microphone?
Okay. If you have a gifted sister in your church, and she kept coming to you, telling you that she has an urge to go and start a ministry, but she herself does not want to do it, but the urge kept coming, What will you advise her?
I would tell her she has a strange fire on her. That urge is a strange fire because it's contrary to the word of God.
Okay, sir.
Simple. So she should go for deliverance.
Okay. Then my request, I want you to come and visit us in Enugu. We need this kind of grace in Enugu.
You are from Enugu?
Yes, sir.
Did I come to Enugu before you know me?
Sir?
Did I come to Enugu before you met me?
No, sir.
So why must I come now for others to know me? The same way you know me, direct others to see me.
We've been doing our best. But
continue. Continue. Because so, I am not an evangelist.
I know, sir.
So I cannot be traveling up and down. If I go for too long, Olumide will collect the church from my hand. So I have to be around.
So sir, this coming to Enugu, he will not be able to collect the church at that time.
As the Lord will lead us.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. Next.
Yeah, I respect you again, Commander. Pastor, my question, especially for Moto, I want to ask you a question concerning Cameroon. No be in Abidjan because of me one, because some brother in there where they want to come up for Cameroon, but can't see you. Especially for Tiwe, it worry them for ministry them. And the problem where I believe when you answer the question, it will solve many people there for Spain, maybe for the come. Ask with this particular question, because for many ministry in the way, because pastor no say no big man no day where he tell you say you don't do so, you know, fine. So when he vex Christian just go another ministry you grow, and when you discover say instead for the conference for ministry for reduce, if they did 800 now next year there will be now 900. Why they blame, they always go now for Christian them, but me I this strong weakness on few error then where they come. Like for example, for ministry then where you being a pastor, you get evangelist then for inside plenty. But you as a pastor, you know the degree, make program the whole, like this crusade then. And when program always come, you like to go ask now for prophet. Why you the commander, you don't tell you see a leader of a church, now pastor, no be now pastor the year for prophet. Now, for this reason, Commander, would they want to ask and I say, how this brother then fit do? Because they don't want open ministry. They really want to be as what you did follow for online. But even if they follow for online, the same prophet, they will follow them for their house. They will say, the Lord shall say you're there for mortuary. The Lord say you will die because of this and so. And some of them don't be that kind of hardware. You know, if you go to encourage a man, say, me no go church, or me no fear prophet. Because you don't reach for extent where church don't become a threat, and it brings stress. What you be talking is concerning stress. So, Commander, one asks now, say, what did they really do for this kind of ministry? Because there are plenty. There will be about 10 where I know, where they face the same problem I want to ask you. So the last question I want to ask you, Commander, again, about these people, they were. You been at the pastor, and because I don't stand for here prophesy, you quickly anoint me as a prophet. Why I not be convinced? And if I want to deny, you will say maybe not because I no one do and so, because surely I won't come preach one day for your altar. And secondly, I believe now say no, pastor better allow me my be so they listen, because I'm not convinced with the qualification where they see us with the follow online. And it will still end up now say what is sometimes one go open a ministry. And when ministry don't start to go with this kind of trade, it will bring make we would even shame for talk about Christ, because what he would talk for online, no when I did see him for our area. Thank you, Commander.
Thank you. I have a new title from Cameroon. Commander. Commander Moses Alu. You know, your broken English is different from Nigerian broken English. Well, let me see whether I really understand. The first question is, we are the pastor does not encourage other ministries like the evangelists. He will not encourage them to go out on evangelism. Yes, and that person does not want to go and open church.
Yes, and they will always go and ask a prophet to confirm if the program the Lord will accept. Why the Christian will say the Bible says we should go and do, not to ask the Lord again.
Yes, you want to vet it. Whether you should go or not, you go and ask a prophet to confirm. Yes. This evangelist, you people are going, is God in it or not? And it's frustrating the evangelist. Yes, and the evangelist cannot, does not want to leave and go and start his ministry. So what would such an evangelist do?
Yes, sir.
The answer is as simple as ABC. Look for another pastor that encourages evangelism and leave that church and go there. Amen. Simple.
Amen, sir.
Simple.
Amen,
Commander. The second one is those who stop coming to church.
Yes, sir.
Because they disagree with what is happening. Yes, and those same pastors will go again and be threatening them with a revelation.
I've seen in the mortuary.
I see you in the mortuary.
Yes, sir.
Because you stop coming to church.
Yes, sir.
So what is that person to do? Ignore them and face your God.
Thank you, Commander.
Ignore them and face their God. No man has a final say over you. Let no man threaten you. 1 Peter 3:15. I think that is the verse.
But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts.
Verse 13.
And who is he that we have?
That is the verse I'm looking for.
If ye be followers of that which is good.
Again.
And who is he that we harm you? If ye be followers of that which
who
is good.
Who can harm you if a follower of that which is good? Verse 31. What did he say? Romans chapter 8.
If what shall we then say to these things?
What shall we say?
If God be for us, who can be against us?
And if you read on, he's saying in all this we are more than conquerors. So let nobody scare you with I left four churches. Some people say they cannot leave, they want to pray over it. I don't pray over such things. I want to leave a church and say, let me pray over it. Who do me that? I'm not feeding anymore. You want me to stay there? For what? Die there. There are people that are so much afraid of the pastor. I don't know how they're able to achieve that. That's never worked on me. And I want to leave any church, I'll go to the pastor. Sorry. I don't change church. You're not going to see me again. Why now? The last one, I spent 5 years there. I mean, one of them, I spent 5 years. I say, I've discovered you tried concerning my spiritual life. You try. But I discovered that I'm not growing. I want to try another pastor. What is the problem? No. I've just come to tell you. Sunday might be the last time where I come. You're not going to see me again. I may pray for me and they go. It's no big deal there. If you hate me because I do that, you didn't die for me. And I came to your church willingly. We didn't sign agreement. Why do I have to do a meeting before I leave your church? And one of the brothers are sitting down there now. You left the church. After so many years, started your ministry, and then you came back. You're sitting over there. And that you have come to tell me that you have decided to come back. Remember in my office, I said, why do you have to have a meeting with me? We don't have a register, we'll sign now. You decide to come back, you're welcome. But all these people welcome, we're not doing like this. So I sit down freely, you come freely, you go. Simple. If you vex because somebody left your church, you don't understand the gospel. God bless you. Who again?
Shalom, sir.
God bless you.
I have two questions. And the first question is, what is the place of mentorship in the end time message.
Pastor Sars. Pastor Sars, give him a microphone to answer him. Maybe he didn't hear your message.
Praise the Lord. I believe the commander is already there to answer us. To help us out.
He has played the ball back to my side again. There is a place for mentorship. There is a place for mentorship. What is mentor? Why will I call you my son in the Lord when I did not mentor you?
Okay, sir. I want to.
Yes.
The reason I asked, you know, working with so many other end time preachers, some of them will tell you that, why are you looking up to somebody? And personally, to me, I had a brother that visited Port Harcourt. He was formerly a member of this, the Bride Assembly Lagos Church. When he came, he told me, say, you are being stupid. Every church is autonomous. What do you have to do with Pastor Moses again? I said, brother, I had experiences while growing up. And there is somebody I must look up to. I said, so far, so good. I've not seen him do anything that is wrong. And while we're discussing that time, I think my wife heard what I was saying. So anytime if she just noticed I want to do anything that is not proper, I say, come, if you make any mistake, now go call your father.
Your head go come correct.
So immediately, I will adjust myself. So there was even a day she picked the phone. He said, you know, I have Pastor Moses' number. I will call him now and tell him that he should come out. You are not fit to be a pastor. So I know she is doing it to make sure I am in check. But because of what I experienced with some pastors, they tell you that every church is autonomous. That you must not. It's not compulsory. And that was why I was happy when Pastor Sir taught the message yesterday. I was very happy. And I told him this morning, I said, this is the best ministers' conference since we started.
Amen.
Because to me, a lot of things were answered. So that's why I'm asking, because some may be here that still have that same thing in mind. So what is the place? Is it needed? Is it important? Is it not important? So that's my first question, sir.
It's very important, because the Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron.
That's
right. You have orphans. You have an orphan. No father, no mother. How will that type of child grow? So you have people who will go and adopt them. There are also children that adopt fathers. When you know that your life can be better if you get connected to this person and allow him to mentor you. But concerning spiritual mentorship, mentorship comes first from the Holy Spirit through the scriptures. Then we now have people that are already experienced, you see certain grace that can also help guide you. You attach yourself to them. But they can only be of help to you to the extent that you submit yourself to them. And so when you say every church is autonomous, yes, autonomous because you are first responsible to the Holy Ghost. So, nobody dictates to you. We can only advise. Mentorship is advice. We advise you, and you don't want to be cut off from somebody whom you are benefiting from. You want to keep the relationship with the person. That's why you don't want anything that will come between you and that person. And that is why your wife knows the importance of your relationship with me. You don't want to be caught off because you know you will need this man. So you don't want it. That's why they're using it and threatening you. Not because somebody is going to give you order. No. Nobody's going to give you instruction. Nobody's going to tell you this is how you must preach. No. The autonomy there is nobody's telling you how to spend your money, what to preach, what to do, and what not to do. No. It must not. That is not mentorship.
Okay, sir.
Mentorship is my availability, your access to me. It was in the course of mentorship, Pastor Sars. You were pastoring a church in Abuja, and you called me. You have this problem within the church. You needed my advice. And while you were talking to me, by the gift of the word of knowledge, I heard a voice that said, send him to Jos. Now he could refuse because he's not taking instruction from me. And I can't forget what happened that day. I know him to be a pastor. Why am I hearing? Because the brethren in Jos had been disturbing us to send them a pastor. Like the brethren at Oweri, Otukpo, Oweri, and some other places. They want pastor. And I said, among our ministers, if we see anyone that has a pastoral calling, we will send. But for now, and we approached two brothers, Olu. We asked them.
Three brothers.
Three of them. All of them turned down. Said they don't go. We don't force them. If it's the denomination, will they say no? They say no. It's okay. It's all right. If you pray over it, and God said no, we will not say no. This is how I think it should be. So I told them, let's see any day there is, we get anybody that will come, they will come. It was in that estate. He said, send him to Jos. Immediately he said, I caught the phone. What am I hearing? I was still meditating on it. And he spoke again to me. I have informed him he's leaving Abuja. And I called you back, correct? I said, did you ever receive any revelation you are leaving Abuja? He said, yes.
Yes.
Two and confirmation.
Yes,
two
sir.
Places. And you mentioned the time.
Yes, sir.
I said, can you go to Jos? Not even knowing that he grew up in Jos.
Yes,
I never
sir.
Knew that. It was much later after he got there. And that is how he went there. So, up till now, and many of you here, when you have problem, you call me. The only one that I don't answer peacefully or happily is the one you tell me you need money. The mentorship, no reach that side. Because me too, I need money. So we two people in need of the same thing, who go help who? Okay, that's just on the latter side. I think that is resolved. Mentorship,
right.
I believe in it.
Yes, thank you, sir. My second question is taken from Deuteronomy 18, from verse 20 to 22. I think we've read it already just a while ago, so maybe there have been no need repeating it.
There was the question.
The question is this. You know, I've spent some time studying online, leaving the message, a lot of things that have been coming out concerning the prophet William Branham. And some of the words that were given as prophecies that are actually not prophecy. Now, I want to ask a question based on this scripture. Is it proper now to call William Branham a false prophet? Based on this scripture. Because, you know, sir, before you answer, Okay, Commander, thank you, sir.
No, man. I have too many enemies. They will say me, I say I'll be Commander. That's my new title. Now, Cameroon people call me, oh, I know be Commander. Oh. Listen, sir. Listen. What Jesus Christ taught, what Apostle Paul taught, what Moses taught is how to identify a false prophet. So learn how to identify. It's not me to tell you this person is false. You know how to identify a false prophet and know how to work with that person accordingly. God bless you. You want to set trap for me? You're not going to catch me. You're not going to catch you. Next person, please.
Shalom, church.
Yes.
And God bless you, Commander of the Lord's Army. I'm all grace to you. Thank you, sir. Thank you for the opportunity you are giving us to us. You are giving unto us.
God bless you.
Okay, so I have two questions. And this question in particular has been bugging me since for some years back, since I came across Bright TV. And I've been following you sincerely. I've been coming to Lagos too often. I'm from Cameroon. Okay, so the first question is when I understood the Old Testament is a shadow of the New Testament. So I've been worried particularly for this, the life of Solomon, King Solomon. Yeah, because I know he types the Lord Jesus Christ. So when I read about his story, especially in 1 Kings chapter 11, to see the end of his life, I was not so much pleased because he was not pleasing God. He goes to an extent, you see, like from verse 36, all the evil things he did that God has to give all his kingdom to other, unto only one nation that was left, and not for his sake, but for his father's sake, for the covenant. So I know, I understand that if King Solomon types the Lord Jesus Christ, then so is it what will happen to us in the millennium? Because in the millennium, as we see in Revelation chapter 20, that when Satan will be loose from the bottomless pit and shall go again, I will deceive some people. So it means only if one will be saved. Oh, I don't understand, sir. Oh, he is only typing the Lord Jesus Christ, but in the kingdom age which we are today, or in the millennium. That's the first question, sir.
Sorry, when you are typing, the purpose of typing is to get a clearer picture of what salvation is all about. There's a way you type and over type. You have to pick the aspect of that story that speaks of Christ, not completely. Because Christ didn't fail. Okay. But Solomon is the wisest man that has lived on earth.
Yes. Yes, sir.
And in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24, he referred to Jesus Christ as who?
The wisdom of God.
So who is Jesus? The wisdom of God. And Jesus said, talk about the greatness of Solomon and say, a greater than Solomon is here. He's great in wisdom. He's greater than, though he was wise, greater because Solomon fell, but this one will not fall. So you have to, don't overtype.
Yes. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir.
You know, Solomon had wife, but he had concubines also. And other kings, they had concubines. So Jesus too has concubines.
Yes, sir. Okay. I understood that in your teaching.
Okay.
That was what was making me to be worried so much. But thank you for the clarification today. Second question is, we see in the process of salvation in Ezekiel chapter 36, from verse 24, 25, 26, and 27. Then verse 27 actually said, I will put my spirit within you after all the cleansing and the process. Because see in verse 26, in Ezekiel chapter 36, that a new spirit will I give unto you and a new heart. Then we'll come now to John chapter 14, verse 26. It said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, that will teach you all things and bring to your remember whatsoever I have taught you. Going back now, where I got confused, going back now to chapter 15, verse 26. John chapter 15, verse 26.
But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, yes, even the Spirit of truth.
Even the Spirit of truth. That's where I ask. That is it because I remember like last 2 years in the Holy Ghost baptism program, I asked this question that, is it possible for someone who have the Holy Spirit, like a pastor particularly, or a minister, then have the spirit of unbelief? Or is it that person only received the spirit of truth? I will see in verse 36 in Ezekiel chapter, verse 26 in Ezekiel chapter 36. That's the question, sir. That there is a spirit of truth differ from the Holy Spirit?
The Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth because he will guide you to all truth. And the spirit of truth is the spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life.
Okay.
Yeah, so when you have received the Holy Ghost, you have received a comforter, you have received a teacher, you have received wisdom, you have received light, you have received life, you have received everything that pertained to godliness.
Okay, so then John chapter 8 verse 32. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall future set you free.
Yes.
So that's why in this scripture,
shall does not mean future. Shall means affirmative, certainty, definitely. That is the meaning of shall. Shall.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you. Next person. I have, okay, few minutes. The timekeeper will soon drive me from here, so we're watching. Anytime you see me leave, yes, Pastor Lumide, I say I should leave. Yes.
Shalom, brother of Christ. Daddy, more grace.
Thank you, sir.
I know you didn't know me. You are my mentor.
You see? So,
yes.
I'm a mentor.
Yes, you are my mentor.
Brother Victor.
And,
I'm a mentor.
I am happy. I am happy for this opportunity granted to me to ask this question. Because this question has been bothering me. Even I have met with our leader, evangelical leader.
Chinedu. So what is the question?
So the question is concerning wedding ring. I read Genesis 35, verse 1 to 4, with the Exodus 33, 1 to 6.
You must and quote New Testament also.
New Testament?
Yeah.
Okay, my distance, I don't know if it's here.
No, I'm only telling you in advance. Continue quoting.
Okay. No, I have some in the New Testament, but it's not with me here. That's why I said, let me check if it's here.
I check now.
Because of time, sir. I wanted to see you personally, but they did not allow me.
Who did not? Do you have my number?
I have your number.
Did you text me or call me?
Person that called you and said, I want to see you personally. You said, I should meet the protocol.
You should meet protocol.
Protocol.
On Thursday.
You said, I should meet protocol. When I come, they will not allow me. They will be
on Thursday.
On Thursday, yes.
You know, sometimes we create unnecessary problems for ourselves. You are even a member of the church.
Yes, Nade. Okay, I meet PA. PA hand me over to Prophet Jael. He said, you hand over my case to you.
Okay, you have been. No, that is a different thing.
But this question now.
No, wait. No, for the sake of others. You will see some church members that will say they have been around. They try to see me. They cannot get me. You make it look as if I'm a shepherd that cannot relate with my sheep. That would be wrong. The thing there is you refuse to follow the procedure, the protocol.
Yeah.
So you see, every member belongs to a group, and all the group leaders have access to me. If you meet your leader will call me. I have so I want to bring to see you. See me.
He told me that if I want to see pastor, that he is the pastor that should tell him whatever I want to tell you.
Who?
Our leader, Chinedu.
But did you text me to say, to give this excuse? I'm unable to see you. This is what our leader said.
Honestly speaking, I'm in interest of education. But I'm a
it's not education, no. This one, you know, they learn them for school. The whole thing is this. I have, my phone number is available to every member.
I have your number.
Anybody that wants to see me, sends me a text. Sometimes I even call you back. What do you want to see me for? Because I don't like people coming to sit in my office for hours waiting to see me when we can talk on phone. So we solve our problem on phone. I always ask you, if you were in America, will you come to see me face to face before we talk? So we talk. So if you say you want to ask questions, there are question and answer sessions. You text your question to me. I will call you back. We discuss the answer on phone. So, and your leader say you should tell him. You should feel free to tell him because that is what he's there for. Something he can solve. Why are you bothering the overseer? So you feel free. Then he will be able to tell you, this is your problem. You want prayer. This is where you should go. Then he will take you to a prophet, and then the job is made easier for everybody. Because if you come to me, you don't know what is wrong with you. Me too, I don't know what is wrong. Me too, I get things, so I don't know what is wrong with me. So all of us, the prophet will go see. So I will redirect you again there. So that's what he's telling you he will do for you. Let him know what your problem is, so that he will know how to advise you to get the problem solved. God bless you. So wedding ring. So you look for the scripture in the New Testament, then you let us know. Who again? Talk to me if you have a microphone. Who? Okay.
Shalom, sir.
Okay.
Please, I'm Pastor Emmanuel Ani from Akwa Ibom. I want to appreciate the opportunity that you have given to me this moment. Please. I want to find out. I have two questions. One had been answered, would have been three. I want to find out in a church if there is a problem like procreation problem. Is it wrong for a pastor to advise the family to adopt any scientific method to have a child?
There's nothing wrong with adoption.
All right.
To adopt any specific method.
Are you using any scientific method to have?
As long as we are counselors based on what we know to counsel the people. So if somebody comes to you and you listen to the case and you know a particular method that will help the people, not only in any area of their lives at all, including procreation, fertility. There's nothing wrong with it. But remember, before the person does it, it has to depend on prayers first. You pray, even though it will not succeed.
Okay. Thank you very much. My second question is, what should we do in a situation where in a church, particular set of members created another, call it church within the church, and the church leadership summoned them, they insulted the church leadership when they were excommunicated. They turn around behind and then form another church using the same name.
Using your name?
The same bride assembly. They just turn around in the neighborhood. They hire a place and then start a church using bride assembly, the same bride assembly.
I'm the one to complain, not you now. Why would somebody use my name without my permission?
Good.
I am the one to complain.
Okay.
If anybody uses my name without my knowledge, a criminal.
That's why I'm reporting they are using the name without your knowledge.
No, if I know, I will call that person. Why using my name? The day you will know, say, I'll deny you if trouble come out. I'll tell you, so I don't know you.
Okay, sir.
Did they hear me, boy?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Praise the Lord. So, it happens. There are people that cannot decide to frustrate your ministry. People who disagree with you. It is not honorable to leave a ministry and pack the members to follow you. The foundation of that ministry will be wrong. You believe God called you. Go and make your calling an election. Confirm it. When I left the last church before Bride Assembly started, I made sure no member of that, my former church, joined us. If I see you, I'll drive you away. So that pastor will not say, I broke his church. None of them followed us. None. Why do you have to do that? Even if my converts were there during my evangelism, as their pastor. Go and gather your own. Don't spoil another person's own to build your own. That foundation is wrong. When a church in Jos that gathered, we made a lot of noise, we gathered their church, the pastor is Pastor Weston. And they had a lot of disagreement and they felt all of them there are my converts. And so they were going to remove him as the pastor. And I told them, I said, no, you don't remove a pastor. You only walk away from a pastor. If you don't want him to be your pastor, leave him and go. There were how many of them or so that came to Akwanga that year to meet me? Maybe about seven of them or so, seven or 12 of them. And I told them, immediately I called the pastor. I said, there are people there that have decided to leave your church. And I've told them that they are free to go. I'm informing you now. Because my sheep know my voice. If they say, but they should not create problem in your church. Don't create problem. Live peacefully. Don't create any problem. And they left. That was the beginning of his problem with me because I permitted them to leave. Is it not under my name they gathered before? Are they not my converts? Were they your converts? I have to mentor them. They were not feeding from you and they are quarreling and they are this. I said, no, leave him. You are free to leave. But don't do politics in a church and remove a pastor. It is wrong. What if tomorrow you change your mind and you all come back again? Politics. No, don't do politics in the church. God bless you.
Shalom, sir.
Okay, I'll take two more, then we'll take break. Then we'll come back and stress a little bit, and then we'll go and eat.
Shalom, sir.
When we come back, we are going to catch some small fire. In the night session, we'll catch some small fire. Some people need fire. Yes, sir. Eh? Some people need fire. Fire. You have come to collect fire. That fire will follow your ministry in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Two more.
Shalom,
yes,
sir.
More grace, sir.
Thank you.
I still remain Deda Ilya from Bauchi State. I have two questions. My first question is taken from the book of Matthew chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. Matthew 11, verse 1 and 2, concerning John the Baptist.
And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, as he departed there to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples.
Yes.
So he sent his disciples to Jesus Christ, asking him whether they will expect anybody or is he the one to come. Now, yes. My question is this. Concerning Olumide's teaching yesterday.
Concerning?
Olumide's teaching yesterday.
Olumide, yes.
He taught us that for the man to, the condition necessary for a man to be perfect, one of the conditions he gave us yesterday, that the person must understand the divine agenda. That's the divine timetable. Now,
he must understand
the divine agenda.
Okay.
The divine timetable.
Okay.
Now, John the Baptist was the person that introduced Christ. Behold, the man that taketh away the sin of the world. Does it mean that he didn't understood the divine agenda at the point he was sending his disciples to go and ask Jesus whether he's the one to come? Oh, because Jesus Christ was started telling the disciples, see what I'm doing. See what I'm doing. I heal the blind. I do this, blah, blah, all those things. Does it mean that John the Baptist didn't understand the divine agenda? Why was he sending his disciple?
What John displayed there is what every one of us sitting down here has displayed. You are sure you receive a revelation to start a ministry. Then all of a sudden there's a lot of wahala around. You begin to tell, wait, is this what you really told me to come and do? Or what? That shows the human side of him. It's nothing more.
Okay, second question. Book of Genesis chapter 4.
Who?
Book of Genesis chapter 4.
Who ordained?
Book of Genesis. That's my second question. It's in
book of Genesis.
Chapter 4.
Okay, okay.
From verse 5 to 7, but my emphasis is in verse 7.
Yes.
Concerning Cain and Abel.
If thou dwellest well, shall that not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him.
Unto who? That's what I want to, the last part of it. Unto thee shall be his desire. Whose desire? And sin shall rule over who? That's the question.
Let's read it again.
If thou doest well.
Let me read it for emphasis. If he was talking to Cain. If thou doest well, what is that thing is to do well? If he also serves God acceptably, if his sacrifice is also acceptably, if you do it well, according to the due order, by revelation, your own sacrifice too will be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. What is that sin? Anger. Murder. You will kill. And unto thee shall be his desire. And thou shalt rule over him. Who is that his? It's Abel. This verse is very, very technical. It's between Cain and Abel. You are supposed to be the senior. And unto you shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. You cannot call sin him. It's talking about Abel. You will be the senior. That is my understanding of that scripture. Yes.
Praise the Lord.
The last person for now.
Praise Master Jesus.
God bless you.
My question goes like this. I have two questions to answer, to ask. My first question take pick from the book of Luke chapter 9, starting from verse 1 to 2. Luke chapter 9.
Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick.
Thank you. Then why is it that some men of God today, when somebody is sick, they will ask to go and buy goat and use it for sacrifice?
Oh. Why?
Yes, sir.
Because they have no knowledge of the truth. That's the answer now. They're ignorant.
Then second one, I want us to go to Exodus chapter 22, starting from verse 24 to 25.
Exodus 22:25, my wrath shall wax hot, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives shall be widows, and your children fatherless. If thou lend money to any of my people that is poor by thee, that shall not be to
him. No, it's 23, sir.
Exodus 22:23. He that afflicted
23. Exodus 23
verse
24 to 25.
Thou shalt not bow down to their gods nor serve them, nor do after their works. But thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. And ye shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take away sicknesses from the midst of thee.
Then Job chapter 36, verse 11.
Job 36 verse 10.
Level.
Harriet.
If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures.
Praise Master Jesus. Today, why is it that the men of God that is preaching prosperity are more than the one that are preaching salvation?
Why?
Yes, sir.
How did you get your statistics?
Because I get to know that in the church today, many men of God, they always go to prosperity, preach prosperity to people. Why, when Jesus came, he taught about salvation.
You have not given me your statistics. I say, how did you get your statistics to know these ones more than these ones?
In many places, even in one day I was preaching to a man, what he used to reply me is that, why I always preach salvation, that people will not come to my church, that people of now, of this end time message, they like to listen to prosperity message, but I get to shut him up that day that he should stop that, people will surely come to my church. This is what Jesus Christ told us, that you should serve him, because he teaches us the way of salvation. Before you, somebody will prosper, you must serve God.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The purpose of question and answer is something that will make the scriptures clearer, or our ministries, that will help us in our ministries. What you are talking about is hypothetical. What you are talking about is the reason why you should stay with the word. So, why are they more? Me too, I don't know. But I know there is hunger in the land.
Because many of them are
so anywhere there is hope, people will run there. But let's stay with the word. Let's preach the word. In season, out of season. For a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That is what you are talking to. They will heap to themselves what? Teachers with what? Itching ears. That's what the Bible says. That's why they love to go to such places. Okay. There is a question. We'll just take a short break and come back. Or do we go to finish eating? There's also something here. Pastor Benson from Kano. There is a question, there is something I thought you were going to teach us, but you have not. So you'll be talking to us when we come back. How you want to look at 1 Thessalonians 4:16?
Yes, sir.
Eh?
Yes, sir.
So when we come back from the short break, can we look at it? Eh?
Yes, sir.
We can look at it.
Yes, sir.
So everybody will contribute to that light you are trying to shine, whether we should quench it or should make it brighter. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let's take a short break. Just 30 minutes break, and then we come back. Okay? Can we stand up and say thank you, Lord Jesus?